are bad. عَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. We think that pain is something bad for us while it is good for us. You know, this is what the Quran says. And there are many people in the world who comfortable lives, but they suffer a lack of peace and confidence. There's no doubt about it. In this time around, and in this age, of course, peace of mind is something that many people lack, many people are looking for. People do not live a peaceful life because of certain problems that they encounter in their daily life. Many people, for example, resort to alcoholic drinks, many people to narcotic drugs to decrease their spiritual, you know, pain and to decrease their self-consciousness. And finally, they, you know, many people commit suicide because they do not have peace and they do not have confidence in their life. Peace of mind is an important asset which many people seem to be deprived of. Let's have a break. We will be back.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. Charity to the poor, cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. God Almighty says in the Holy Quran, verse 124 of chapter 20, and whoever turns away from my reminder, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, whoever stop, you know, remembering me, he is, shall surely be a straitened life. He will have a difficult life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And he will be raised on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, he will be raised blind. And this is a warning given to those people who do not offer their prayers, who do not remember Allah, who do not worship Allah, who do not fulfill their, you know, duties to Allah. أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. You know, surely by Allah's remembrance are the hearts at rest. You know, if you are looking for peace of mind, you have to remember Allah, because remembering Allah is an act of gratitude, an act of expressing gratitude to Allah. We should be grateful to Allah, and it's because of ingratitude that we suffer. Ya ayatuha nafsul mutmainna, O soul that art at rest. Irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya, return to your Lord well-pleased and well-pleasing. So these verses in fact means that we are not created for this world. We have been created only to live for a few days in this world, but the permanent, you know, abode or the place where we are going to live permanently is the hereafter. And we have to be prepared for that day. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says that the reason why the pious are not afraid of losing anything and everything becomes easy for them is that they have appreciated His greatness. They have understood Allah's greatness, Allah's magnificence. So that's why nothing else is important in their eyes. If you are on a beach close to the ocean, you do not pay any attention to a glass of water and the hand of a baby. No? Imam Ali alayhi wasalam says about the pious men, about muttaqin, عَظُمَ الْخَالِقْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ فَسَغَرَ مَا دُونَهُ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. And this is a very important maxim from Imam Ali alayhi wasalam, which says the greatness of the Creator is seated in their hearts. عَظُمَ الْخَالِقْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And so everything else appears small and insignificant in their eyes. فَصَغَرَ مَا دُونَهُ فِي أَعْيُونِهِمْ. When you are close to Allah, when you have true faith in Allah, and when you understand that this world is transient, this world is fleeting, then that the other world is the permanent abode, then you will not give importance to this world. You will not dedicate your life to the material life. You will work hard to achieve God's satisfaction, God's proximity to Allah. And no matter what you should do, no matter how difficult it might be, so you will work to achieve divine pleasure. Of course, there's still another reason why peace and confidence come after faith and the closeness to Allah. Human beings are innately thirsty to reach the infinite good and perfection. Every individual you talk to, he will tell you that, okay, I wish I had infinite good, infinite perfection.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
No one abhors perfection. No one detests, infinite good. And of course, some people unfortunately take something which is not good for them, but they consider it to be good. For example, money, fame, and power, they, in their eyes, according to some people, these are good things. And they try to obtain each of them, money, fame, reputation. They think, some people naively think, that these are the things which guarantees their happiness. These are means which Islam is not opposed to money, to power. Of course, power is good. But these are means only. And these are not the ultimate goals for which we are created. Only closeness to Allah can satisfy man. Let us submit our hearts with Imam Sajjad while he prays. Nothing will cool my burning thirst but reaching you. Nothing quench my thirst but meeting you. Nothing damp my yearning but gazing upon your face. Nothing will settle my settling place without closeness to you. Let us work hard to achieve perfection. And achieving perfection is possible by complying with God's order, by obeying Him, by worshipping Him, by glorifying Him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share, He knows. Allah knows.
Cultural news. Social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by 6 centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4-meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. and that is what we did with the millennial Alersi. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borisovich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he's going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's wood blocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, five deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past six decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for birds and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tries to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment, and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Shaykh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Shaykh. The pleasure is all ours. Our question today has been sent by one of our listeners, and it is about dreams. So some people, maybe a lot of people, when they sleep and they dream, sometimes they are visited by their deceased family relatives. Are these types of dreams true dreams, what we call ru'ya sadiqa, an actual dream, or is it just figments of the imagination or memories? And in extension of this, what is then a proper dream, a true dream?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, that most of the dreams that the ordinary people have it, they are from among the adqatu ahlam, according right. to the verse of Noble Quran. Means that some false dream that people have it. And it is because of the power of imagination of human being, and because they sometimes people, they engage in this material life, they are engaged in many other points that the mind is full and busy with different things, you know,
yes.
detailed right. thing they thinking about. And because of this engagement, and because the mind is busy, when they have sleep, okay, they have a kind of dream, and this dream is considered to be false dream, and we cannot rely that. They are not reliable dreams, and according to the verses of Noble Quran, you know, we have other type of dream, which is ru'ya sadaqa, okay, right. true dreams. This ru'ya sadaqa has a lot of condition for that, if you want to have that kind of dream. First of all, talk about the time of that. Time of that, it has been mentioned, is in the time of Sahar, before dawn. Okay. Right. Another condition of that is that individual should be in the pure condition.
Right.
Okay. Ma'at tahara, which means they're in the pure condition with ablution.
Ritual ablution before going
to sleep. Not to be in the, for example, ritual ablution, not to be junub, which we say that it is kind of impurity for the individual. This janaba actually is causing from the sexual intercourse. And be in the position of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to this narration, Imam said that, ذكر الله حقيقة ذكره, which means to have this kind of a spiritual and heart relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay?
Right.
By this condition, if we observe these conditions that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, then you can have ru'ya sadaqah. But it is not very easy done. Because if you want to have real mentioning and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it requires, you know, cleansing of hearts. Okay, your heart must be clean from any kind of, you know, deviation.
Impurities, sins.
Sins. And, you know, in that case, maybe you have the opportunity of having ru'ya sadaqah. But I have to mention that it is rarely that people, they can have these ru'ya sadaqah. And for the most case, they understand that whether it was the ru'ya sadaqah or adghath or ahlam, because spiritually speaking, when you are in the very nice situation, you are away from any kind of sin, and you have this kind of muraqabah, which means always maintain your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe you have the opportunity and privilege of having these ru'ya sadaqah.
So upon these ru'ya sadaqah, you call it a privilege. So who sees these dreams? Is there a message behind them? Or is it just some privilege, a gift to them? What is the, so we call the tafsir, the exegesis, the meaning of these dreams?
You know, my brother, talking about the interpretation of such dreams, you know, it has its own story. Because only few people, they can interpret the dreams. I know that, you know, many people, they claim that we can interpret the dream, and there are a lot of books has been published over there about this issue, about ta'wil al-ru'ya, interpretation of the dreams. But most of them, and most of these people, if it's not all of them, they are not reliable one. Okay?
Right.
I want to say that if you observe this condition that Imam mentioned, and the most important of that, it was remembering and muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always have your spiritual relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you witness, and you have very clear, dream that... For example,
you understand the dream.
You understand it.
Yes, you do not need a tafsir or explanation.
Because of that, I use the very clear and obvious dream.
Yes, right.
Because it is actually the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For very few people, they can have the privilege of having these kind of dreams. And that dream, maybe the questioner asked about the visiting the dead people. Yes, it is possible. It is possible that you go to the realm of that, which we call it Alamul Mithal. It's kind of realm that after this life, you go to the another life, which we call it Alamul Barzakh, a kind of mediator between this life and the Day of Judgment. Of course, I do not want to go to the explanation of that, because it requires a lot of explanation, which kind of character it has, what is the explanation of that.
Right.
But I want to say that very briefly, it is possible to do that, but possible for very few people who observe these conditions, who have a lot of qualification to have these ru'ya sadaqah and the true dream.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So a question then that might arise, is it possible for somebody to not have these qualifications to be blessed by Allah to have such a dream?
No. Usually it is not. Because Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, in that particular narration that I share with you, he mentioned that it must be, these conditions should be met. Okay?
And they without, must be met.
Yeah. This condition must be met. And without this condition, it is not possible for the evil people, for example, suddenly...
Not evil people, but some people who are not that religious, they also claim, and happens, they saw, for example, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they had a problem in their life, and then they saw the Imam in their dreams, and they spoke to him, and then their hajat, their needs, they were fulfilled.
You know, my brother, we cannot rely on that, okay? Because the point is that not only dream, we have another idea, especially in the mysticism, Islamic mysticism, which we call it shuhud, which means that kind of witnessing some realities.
Right, and that's only a hujjah for those who witnessed it.
Exactly. Right. These could be proof, I repeat that, it could be proof for the those people who witness it.
Right.
Okay?
And only.
if that's... that witnessing, which we call it shuhud, has its proper condition.
Of course.
If it has its accurate way and introduction for that. Because many people, unfortunately, especially false claimants, they claim that, yes, I have the dream of Imam al-Mahdi, I visited the noble Prophet Muhammad, I talked to him, I talked to Prophet Muhammad, and he told me that, for example, that person is your guide, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, a lot of misguided people want to misuse this idea, okay,
right,
and to claim many other false idea via this false dream. The point is that, my brother, if that condition, I want to say that any dream, any shuhud, any witnessing, if it has been done by its accurate way, okay, by accurate introduction, it is acceptable for that individual. If it is not done, I mean, the condition have not been met, so nobody, even that individual, him or herself, cannot rely on that.
Okay, right.
It is for sure. You know, it is granted. Because I know that many people, unfortunately, they claim many ideas. Even they do not have the minimal, let's say, condition for that. But they bring about many other claims that they are baseless.
Would you then, dear Sheikh, in your expertise and according to the narrations and the verses of the Holy Quran, could it be said then that if you've reached a certain maqam status, a certain level of taqwa, of piety, that you will see such a dream? Or is it also at that stage only to some?
As I said, if you have the condition, if you have all these conditions, of course, it is possible for you to have that
dream. It's possible. It is not a given that you must see such a dream.
No, it is not given. Because it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Okay? And it is not for sure that you will have that dream. Okay? The point here is that, and I want to emphasize on that, is that you have to observe all the conditions. If you do that, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you this privilege of having this ru'ya sadaqa, which is a true dream.
So, dear Sheikh, with all of these requirements met, we do have some scholars, not from our sect, for our Sunni Muslim brothers, but also from other Muslims who are not Shia Muslims. They also see these dreams. and they meet the criteria according to the Muslims. They are pious, religious. They sleep with ritual ablution, and they saw this dream at such and such and so time. So the question is, if we then start accepting these dreams as being valid, it can open a whole other door of, perhaps we call it inhiraf, of corruption, because some might say, I saw the Prophet tell me that Umar and Abu Bakr, they are the righteous caliphs. And another will see, I saw the Imam Mahdi, and he told me that I will be his successor, perhaps. And it escalates. So how can we go about this, dear Sheikh? What is our stance on these dreams, generally, to avoid such corruption?
You see that, as I said, we have a lot of false claimant in this issue. Many people claim that, as you said, that, for example, they brought about the denomination, and they want to say that, how can I support that denomination by saying that, for example, my cult is true because I've witnessed I saw the Noble Prophet in my dream, that he supported me and he gave me a lot of instruction. Right. You see that, my brother, in narrations, we have a lot of criteria for those people who want to have accurate, let's say, dream. But first of all, it is established that dream at all is not considered to be one of the proofs.
Okay.
Right. One of the hujjah is Noble Quran and wisdom and the narration and consensus, according to some scholars. Right. These are considered to be your proof and your hujjah. Nobody says that dream or witness or anything else beside that they are hujjah.
Of course.
Of course. You want to say that, maybe they have some dreams and witnesses, which we call it shuhud, but they are, if it has been in a true way and all conditions have an introduction have been met, can be proof for that person, for that individual.
Right.
It is not proof at all. Nobody can say that. Right. Yes, for
you cannot
others.
Face Allah on Judgment Day and see and say that I believed in so-and-so because such person saw this dream.
Even for that individual, maybe for the most cases, cannot be proved. I want to add this point.
Of course.
For that individual, because most of them, if not all of them, they do not meet all conditions. For example, the condition of that is, as I said, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acceptance, the guardianship of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. That it is a basic element, an introduction for that person in order to have Ruya Sadiqah.
All right.
I want to say that for a scholarly analysis, we cannot rely on any dream or any, witness. Rather, we should go to a rational, analysis, or, for example, the verse of Noble Quran or the narrations of Ahlul Bayt.
And with that, we will have to end today's program because we are out of time. I thank you, dear Sheikh, for joining us today, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have in studio today our speaker, Sister Razia Batul Najafi. She's an Islamic researcher, and I have had this pleasure to sit with her in the studio today. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam rahmatullah.
How are you?
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, I always have this good feeling to be with you. Thank you so much for coming. Sister Najafi, we discussed in the previous episodes the responsibilities that parents had towards their kids. That was the, you said, giving them a better name, providing better environment for their education. And you said education was not only a secular one, it was the Islamic education as well, the marriage and being friends with them. And then we said in other sessions, in the following session, we said that not just parents, but society, school, a guide, a spiritual guide also plays a role in the upbringing. Well, today I want to discuss a very important question with you, which many listeners had. I'm just summing up that question in one line. That is, in Islamic perspective, what time does the upbringing of a child start? Does it start after a child is born, or does it start somewhere before that?
When we are choosing our life partner, yeah, so I really want our listeners to pay attention of this word of life partner, life. You know, your life is going to start and you have some vision in your life and you want someone as a helper to pursue your vision in your life. So life partner means what? Means if you are having, inshallah, some child, yeah, children, so you need that partner to help you to bring, you know, bring up that upbringing of that children. So life partner means my vision is to leave a good progeny, yeah.
All right.
Beautiful children. Mm-hmm. And then inshallah I'll go to my destination. So for having that baqiyat al-salihat, that beautiful children, I need a partner. So I'm choosing that
himself.
One.
Yeah. Beautiful himself. Yeah. Beautiful himself.
Exactly. So I don't know why the media, the movies, the dramas, you know, they're always looking for someone who's handsome or gorgeous. No, handsome, not only physically, but when you think of your marriage, life partner, you straight away, hadith says, think of your future, your children. Like me, for example, if I really want to have a daughter-in-law, for example, for my son. So I'm thinking, oh, my daughter-in-law, yeah, or my son should think that, oh, because in her arms, my generation going to train.
True.
So what kind of mindset she would have or yeah. he would have, you know? How much pure she or he has. So automatically, if I'm pure, if I'm a calm person, if I'm a positive person, so my child will get that beauty the way she or he get the physical beauty the same way, you know?
He needs the spiritual yeah. beauty as well. He needs the
beauty. But unfortunately, we say, oh yeah, you know, like someone smart, handsome, you know, just physical
good
perfections
looks.
Are our yeah. priorities,
yeah.
but not inner qualities. So when you are looking for your partner, that means you are looking for your generations.
Children, your generation, basically. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's great. I would love to discuss that with you. We need to take a short break, dear listeners. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I have with me Sister Najafi, and we are talking about the time of upbringing. What time does the upbringing of a child start in Islamic perspective? Sister Najafi, you said the actual time is not when a child is born and then the upbringing starts. The upbringing starts actually when you meet your partner.
Exactly.
So you said that when we are looking at a partner, we look at the physical beauty, we look at the looks that are main priority, we look at the richness, we look at the material, we look at whatever he has materially, and we really don't look at the etiquettes or the morals, the values the person has, because those values, you said, are going to transmit into the offsprings.
Yes. I usually say that, you know, to my students that you have to marry with someone who's really rich and really handsome. Richness in faith, yeah?
All right.
And handsome means husn, and that beauty in akhlaq, in etiquette, in morals. And if someone says that, yeah, your partner is, mashallah, perfect, but maybe he cannot live or she cannot live more than 2-3 years because of some diseases. So you will not go with that partner, yeah? So the same way, our partner, you know, I will say not only for this world, we have to think for hereafter. So according to hadith, that if I'm choosing the best partner, yeah, the more pious than me.
All right.
Then on the day of judgment, that partner, not only he's having that right of intercession for me, even for my children. So me and my children can get promotion forever because of my good partner. But
all right.
Good means indefinitely, you know, in high rank of akhlaq and manners and definitely faith and, you know, piety. So sometimes I say this is the best way, the easiest way to go to Jannah, to have a good, you know, partner in especially
right.
in faith, you know, because you will get the way if you marry someone
you're getting
very
a free
rich,
ticket.
Yeah. If someone is very rich, you know, automatically you get all the facilities, you know, in this dunya.
Yeah.
So if someone is really rich in iman, in faith, so, you know, most probably you will get all those beautiful, you know, spiritual environment because of your partner, because you have
you're actually getting a free ticket to the trip of heaven forever.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a beautiful way to say, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be talking to you, sister. We need to take another short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
Ya muqdiy al-khayrat, ya muqdiy al-khayrat, ya muqdiy al-khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are talking about a perfect time of upbringing. When does the perfect time of upbringing start? In Islamic perspective, Sister Najafi, you said it starts from the very moment we start choosing our partner. And in terms of while we're choosing our partner, we are actually choosing our future generation. I know a mother who was really concerned while she was getting her daughter married. She was saying, I am marrying my daughter right now, but I am feeling so guilty that I never gave her some materialistic luxuries in her life. I feel very guilty that she does not have much, dowry with her to take to another home. And I heard some beautiful man telling her, did you give her the idea of 5 times praying in a day? And the mother was like, yes, my daughter offers 5 times prayers. Did you give her iman? And the mother was like, yes, of course, she's full of iman. And the person was saying, you reminded me of this story with your discussion. And the man was like, then you have given her the tremendous dowry with her that she needs to take. So I want you to tell our listeners, what kind of dowry should parents actually give to their daughters that she will take to another home, that she will carry on for the future generations?
Beautifully you have explained, mashallah. I love your style and the selection of wordings, mashallah. Yeah, I would say not only, whenever we talk about the marriage and we say, oh yeah, the new life is going to start, now everything should be new. I say, yeah, this is also a big level, because after marriage life is definitely a big change comes in our life and we start a new life. But the faith and the beautiful akhlaq and manners and connection to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever dowries mother is giving to her children, that is not only for this life, even for that life, that the actual life.
Right.
So I don't know how to say the richest, the most inner peace state, which is the most expensive level of luxury life, inner life. If you see, that is a luxurious life, that someone is satisfied, someone is happy, someone is content, someone is, having a beautiful vision in the life.
Someone has that sukoon, that satisfaction, you want to say.
Inner peace, yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel, wow, look at her or look at him,
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was in place of this person. So that kind of dowry, no one can steal it, no one can snatch it, no one can take it. That is eternal.
And it will never finish.
Yeah, never ever finish. Yeah.
Because the dowry we take in this world, the material things that we take in this world are going to finish at one point of time. And then we are again going to listen, what she got with her? Nothing. We have these claims from the mother-in-laws and other in-laws who wait for the materialistic dowry. So you said the most important thing that a mother can give to her daughter, a young daughter, is in terms of dowry, is the richness in iman, is the 5 times prayers, is the fasting
beauty
thing.
Beauty of akhlaq.
Beauty of values that she's going to transmit into the future generations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Sister Najafi, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome. It was a great discussion with you. I always love to discuss with you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much to our listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. For any suggestions, for any questions, for any feedback, please email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can find us on social media platforms by searching Call of Islam Radio. Our website is parstoday.com, wherein you can find all our programs. Go into the option Call of Islam and you'll find our programs. Until another episode, fi amanullah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of the sixth. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 29th, 2022. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through letters, emails, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card or an eQSL card from us. And here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports. We've received reception reports from Najmuddin from India, Juan Koba from Spain, and Akbar Haydar Kyron from the U.S. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, including from Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, Ding Lu from China, Harald Seuss from Austria, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and Akbar Haydar Kyron from the U.S. Many thanks for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your program, Listeners Special. Please keep us company until the end of the program. I will be back with these great emails from around the world.
Thank you.
Many thanks for being with Listeners Special. Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh has sent us an email, so let's see what Bashir says. I am Bashir Ahmad. I have always been a listener of IRIB.